Let me invite you to make your way back to your seats. It's great to be with you. For those of you who don't know, my name's Tom Gibbs. I was a pastor here at Redeemer Church. I now serve as the president of Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. But it is a huge blessing and privilege to be back with you as Redeemer celebrates God's faithfulness and his steadfast love. The story of Redeemer Presbyterian Church is so special, but it's continuing to go forward. And my time today is really a rare experience for pastors because most of the time we don't have the luxury to look back and see the hand of God at work and how he realizes a vision and a mission. But Redeemer is that gospel alive, vibrant, worshiping community impacting the city of San Antonio. It's beautiful. In fact, God has exceeded our imaginations as we think about what God has done. And yet, that's not how it always was. Redeemer began even more than 20 years ago. My wife and I were serving with Reformed University Fellowship back in Waco, Texas. And there I heard the faint whisper of the Holy Spirit. It was that movement of God that first led me to entertain the thought of planting a church in San Antonio, Texas. And it was a faint whisper, but it was a whisper that I couldn't shake. And that's how the whisper of the Holy Spirit is so often, small and faint, and yet it carries a wallop. But when our God is at work, that no matter how small, something significant is stirring. That's really the message of these two parables that we're going to dig into this morning. I know they're familiar to you. I've preached on these two parables, I think, more than once here at Redeemer, so this will be the third time, but I hope will be equally a blessing. Let's turn our attention to God's Word, verse 31 of chapter 13. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us give thanks to our God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would come now by your Holy Spirit and guide the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts. For your word itself is a great and glorious seed that is easily missed, and apart from your grace, that we cannot grab it. So we pray you would do that work of shaping our hearts, softening our hearts, stirring within us, that we might hear you and receive what you have for us. And we thank you for how you've done that faithful work among us for more than 20 years. Lord, you are the one that we praise today. You are the one whom we worship today. You are our King and Shepherd, our Heavenly Father and Comforter. Would you come and be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we move through today, we're going to come back to those themes of the 20th anniversary, but I do want to start with just what parables are. We're looking at two parables, and some of this may be familiar to you, others it may be new, but Jesus, as you know, spoke a lot in parables, and parables were interesting to those first hearers, those first disciples in Jesus' day, and we sometimes forget the significance of parables even now. But parable, that word comes to us from the Greek. It was the same basic word in the Greek language. It was the combination of two Greek words, para, meaning alongside, and balo, meaning to throw. And that's what a parable is. It's a story thrown alongside the ordinariness of life, made serving the purpose of helping us understand something that Jesus thought was important. Maybe understanding better the love of our God, our Heavenly Father, or His mission in this world, or how He wants us to serve Him and His kingdom. That's what parables are. They're very similar to the way we think of a sermon illustration. right? That story the pastor tells. It's like the story I told in the first service of the man who had given a lot of money over the years to the church. He was a faithful, generous steward of God's mission through his tithing and giving, and his business had fallen on hard times, and he wasn't able to continue to give that money. And so he prayed, God, help me win the lottery that I may give to the church. It's not all bad. Help me win the lottery that I may give to the church. And he prayed this week after week, earnestly and fervently, expecting the Lord to answer his prayer. And he would do this, and even in the hearing of those other disciples who had gathered at church, they began to hear this frequent petition, God, help me win the lottery. But as God did not answer his prayer, and as time went on, his frustrations grew. Eventually, there was one point, God, give me a break. Help me win the lottery. And one of these fellow petitioners, well, he responded back, give you a break. Why don't you give him a break? At least you could buy a lottery ticket. and you immediately see the point, right? This is how a parable works. This is how a sermon illustration works. Right, my colleague and professor of New Testament at Covenant Seminary, Dan Doriani, he says that that's the purpose of a sermon illustration, and something like that is reminding us that we have to join action to the prayers that we pray. Right, it's not enough to pray; we have to act on those prayers that we pray. If you want to win the lottery, you have to buy a lottery ticket. But here's the thing. Parables conceal and reveal, and a careless listener might wonder, why is the pastor talking about buying lottery tickets? Right? They're not discerning that lesson because that message can only be discerned by the attentive listener. And in the same way, we have to dig into the parables that Jesus is providing for us here in chapter 13, that there are six of them, and we need to pay attention. Because these are parables of the kingdom. Notice that Jesus says here, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he does this throughout chapter 13. And if you read Luke's gospel or Mark's gospel, you're going to notice a different phrase, the kingdom of God. Matthew's not even saying the word God here, like a faithful observant Jew observing the third commandment. This is called a circumlocution. He's saying a thing around a thing because he doesn't want to dishonor the Lord. Now, he's going to extremes, but he's also reminding us of something important. By saying that this is the kingdom of heaven, he's reminding us that God's reign is tied to his presence. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are saying that is the realm of the reign of God. That is the realm of God's mission. Unpolluted, unstained. And Jesus now is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this here. He's almost in a sideways, oblique way saying the kingdom of God is here now because I'm here. The kingdom of heaven is now here because I've showed up, and now God's reign, his rule, his unconquerable sway is showing up in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which brings us to these two short parables that we almost think are like, you know, insignificant. But what he's saying, God's here. God's up to something. God's reign is coming. His holy mission has landed in this world. And yet to any faithful Jew, even a holy, God-fearing Gentile, they might have looked at Jesus and, what are you talking about? How can you say that the kingdom of God is here? And we must confess that when we think about the ministry of our God and we think about the promise of the church and the blessing of salvation that we proclaim, and when we look at the world around us, we see a gap.
But I know today here at Redeemer Church, 20 years of ministry, and we can see the hand of our God, and we look back on how He's been at work, and we're going to tell stories and hear the encouragements of those stories of grace, and we praise God for those things. And yet at the same time, we look around us and we see a world that is not the way it's supposed to be. COVID, the earthquake in Syria, the last total, 35,000 people. I'm sure it's more now. We think of the racism and violence in our streets, the politics of hatred, Memphis and Buffalo and so many other places that we've lost count, the war in Ukraine, our friends, the Shepherds and the Hockaboards and the Norrises, all facing that violence, and so many other millions of people. And then we think about our own stories, our own families, the abuse and estrangement, separation, stepping away from the Christian faith, and we say, God, how is this a world where the kingdom of heaven is operative? How is this a place where you are at work? How can we believe that? How can we believe that this is a place where you are at work when so many things testify otherwise? Where is our confidence? Don't you ask that question? Don't you wonder? How do we respond to that? How do we process that the gap, the grief, the hardship, the sin, the brokenness that is here with us, even though this is the anniversary of Redeemer Presbyterian Church? That was a question relevant to Jesus' first hearers, right? They were in the land. They were in the promised land, but it wasn't their land. It was the Romans' land. It was the Romans. They owned the land. And friends, we're here, but we're not there, right? We're here with the Lord, but we're not there in the glorious presence of our triune God, when God will make all things new and all things will be restored. And we're waiting for that day. And where comes our hope? That the kingdom of heaven will finally win the day, that will carry us forward for another 20 years and another 40 and 60 and 100 years here at Redeemer Church. And friends, these two tiny parables have something for us. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed. It's like a mustard seed. It's so small that you can miss it. It's so tiny that you can miss it. It's easy to miss. Even the best of servants can miss the operations of the kingdom of heaven. It's like a grain of a mustard seed. Now Jesus said, the smallest of the seeds. He's not doing a biology class, guys. He's making a proverbial statement, which would have been well known to his hearers. The mustard seed, it would have been a significant garden plant, but it would have been the smallest of seeds. Everybody would have known it. But in case you're wondering, mustard seeds are pretty small. In fact, it takes 750 of them to make a gram. And if you're wondering how much is a gram, well, that's a fourth of a teaspoon of sugar. So you have that in your head. That's a lot of mustard seed right there. But if you were just to look at one of them, you would think it is as insignificant as just a little piece of dirt on your floor that you would sweep up, that you would vacuum up, that you would toss against the baseboard. Nothing to see there. Not important. There's nothing going on there. Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is sometimes like that. You just want to sweep it up, vacuum it up, forget about it, move on from it. Nothing's happening there. And Jesus says, even though it's small, God is up to something. It's like leaven. It's like leaven. You know, this this agent like yeast that causes bread to rise. It's like that leaven that's kneaded into 3 measures of flour. It's teensy. You can't even see it once it goes into the bread dough, but it's doing a work. He says the kingdom of heaven is like that, seemingly unimportant, insignificant, and yet God is up to something in that small thing that's so easy to miss and dismiss. It makes me think of the prophet Zechariah, who was that prophet speaking during the return of the exiles after they had been in Babylon. And Zechariah reminds the people of Israel not to despise the day of small things, because God is showing up in the small things of this world. He's showing up in the small places, the ordinary places, the places where we think nothing is happening, nothing is important or significant. Friends, Jesus is telling us that's where He is. That's where He's doing something remarkable. It's so funny because when we started Redeemer, when we moved here more than 20 years ago, downtown San Antonio was not the place to be. It was not hip. It was not where the restaurants were going. It was not where people wanted to live. And when I told people that we were coming here to see if God would plant a Center City church, that God would land us in the downtown, so many people said, "That'll never work. You can't do that." And some would kind of laugh to my face. Like, if you're going to church plant in San Antonio 2000, you're going to be on 1604. And even then, it's going to be hard. But God was showing up, reminding us that He's always showing up. No matter how insignificant it is, if God is there, it is important. It is significant. When God is in it, no matter how small, it is extraordinary. Friends, that's in every facet of your life if you're a Christian. That's in your marriage. That's with your children. That's in the workplace. That's in your quiet times. That's in your ministries. That's in all of your foibles and mistakes, all of your flaws and brokenness. God is at work. But the kingdom of heaven is easy to miss. We have to look for it. We have to look for it. Secondly, from this small thing, Jesus says, comes this great thing. Again, a simple message. But from this small thing comes a great thing, and seeds perfectly illustrate that point, don't they? Because every seed, not just the mustard seed, every seed, in case you're wondering, is pretty small. But from those seeds come these beautiful things, plants and trees and shrubs and bushes. And the power of the seed is remarkable because a seed can be dormant or inert for thousands of years, and God bring forth a flowering plant. I know that because that happened. A team of scientists that were exploring in the Siberian tundra as the permafrost that was melting, as you know, because of climate change, and as they were digging and exploring, they came across a cache of seeds, probably buried by some ice age squirrel, for all we know. I don't know. But those seeds, these scientists, they dated them 32,000 years old. And they did what you... I mean, what are you going to do? You come across a bunch of old seeds. Let's plant those seeds and see what happens. And it grew. A flowering plant grew, currently holding the record of the oldest germinating plant. And this is what Jesus is saying, the mustard seed, small thing, this great tree. It would have been 10 to 12 feet high, a big bush. But His point is that it's a place where the birds of the air make their nests and live in its branches, which is to say that this mustard seed becomes an ecosystem of life. As the surrounding environment comes to gather in its branches and in its presence, it's not just about the bigness of the plant. It's about the blessing it brings. And friends, that's what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of heaven. It's small, but it grows, and then it makes an impact. It changes lives. It brings blessing. That's the leaven, too. A little fistful of flour would have fed, a fistful of yeast or leaven would have been needed in those three measures to feed 100 men. Small thing. Great impact, great blessing, a great movement of the Lord. But here's the thing, as we think about the seeds, I just want to move a little bit further from Jesus' comments here and recognize that what Jesus says elsewhere in John's gospel about the nature of seeds and the multiplication that they bring for the seed to multiply, it not only has to be planted, it has to break. Jesus speaks about this in John's Gospel, chapter 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The seed has to break if its mission is going to be fulfilled. And Jesus is telling us about Himself. He's telling us about the nature of the seed that He Himself is. He is the seed that has been broken, and out of Him being planted and breaking has come much fruit. So comes forth the kingdom of heaven. He is the living seed that has been planted into our hearts because He was the seed that was broken, that we might be redeemed and saved and forgiven. And as His disciples now, we reenact that pattern, don't we? Because we join Him as little seeds. Which means that we too must be planted. But if we're to realize our mission, we will also be broken. We will die to bring forth the mission of our Savior. And when I think about Redeemer, I can't help about all think of all of the stories of blessing and promise and movement over the years, but I also think about all of the hard times, the struggles, the sacrifices, the burdens that have been borne, the difficulties that we've shared, the brokenness, even that remains. As we long for God's reconciling mercies to untangle what's tangled. But Jesus is saying, in the midst of that, we are carriers of that seed, and even in our brokenness, He is multiplying His mercy and carrying the gospel forward. That's the nature of the kingdom, that the kingdom of heaven, it may begin small, but it carries with it great power and blessing. And that's the story of Jesus. This obscure son of an even more obscure Jewish carpenter has become the Savior of the world, has become the one about whom we talk every day and need every moment. Every hour I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. The one that the world did not see and could not grasp has become for us our salvation. The kingdom of heaven is easy to miss, but the kingdom of heaven is gloriously significant. Huge and impactful. Don't miss it. And that's what I want us to think about as we think about the 20th anniversary of Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Why does this matter to us? Well, first, it ought to be a great encouragement to us, great reassurance, right, of what we're about as a congregation. If you look on the beginning of your worship guide, it has the Redeemer purpose statement. And the first three words of that purpose statement, it's been the same for over 20 years, by God's grace. All of this is by God's grace. It's by Him. He's done it. It's His movement. It's His unconquerable power that's come forth for us in Christ. And it's so encouraging because it reminds us where we ought to place our trust. Where should your focus be? Where should your trust be? Where should your confidence be, Redeemer Presbyterian Church? On the Lord. and on His grace. And that's a message that our world is constantly deconstructing, saying, look somewhere else. If you want to be great, achieve, accomplish, acquire, become beautiful, gain power, influence on social media, climb the ladder. This is the message of our world, and it's screaming at us. And Jesus in the gospel saying something very different, something radically different. God is showing up in a radically different way. Again, Zechariah, same passage. Can you imagine how discouraged those people would have been coming back to Babylon, seeing Jerusalem, coming back to Jerusalem, seeing it in ruins, seeing the temple in ruins. And then this prophet, not by might, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. I will do it. Trust me. Look to me. Follow me. Come with me. God's seeds are everywhere. Because He's been planted into our hearts. Like we're just picking up seeds. Just looking at flowers. Watching the Lord do His work. I think about those seeds as we think about Redeemer Presbyterian Church. And Jonathan and Heather, I'm going to cry. A scrap of paper, y'all know this story, but a scrap of paper with a phone number by a mutual friend said, hey, call these guys when you get to San Antonio. That was how the cards came into Redeemer. What you may not know is Jonathan was friends with Doug and Masha Shepherd, Doug Shepherd in college. That was the connection for us to Ukraine, to Hiro and Anya Akabord and the Norrises. And the Powells and everybody in Lviv and all across Ukraine. A scrap of paper I stuck in my pocket, held on for about 3 or 4 months, but could have been forgotten. I think about in 2005, we moved into a new house, 219 Arcadia Place. Many of you came to our home back in those days. And in that first year, we had a Christmas party, and the whole, like 400 people came to our house. We didn't do that anymore. but that was right when Jeremy and Angel Whitley were coming into Redeemer. And Angel walks in the house, and she said, I'm going to tell you something that's so crazy. I swam in your swimming pool when I was a kid. And who knew that God was planting a seed that would become a connection, that would then form a relationship that would carry the Whitleys through in discipleship of Jesus? A swimming pool? How does that work? And Daniel Peavy was one of my students pursuing a master's at Baylor University that became the doorway into a relationship with his mother who served faithfully here. Harriet. And so many other tiny seeds. Ryan and Shauna Freilich, Ryan was one of our first elders. Only here for maybe 2 or 3 years. And then God moved them away back to Green Bay. And there in the Green Bay area, as a ruling elder and a ministry leader, they've been part of founding 2 churches. Sean is now teaching across the PCA. Because they showed up at a Christmas party here in downtown San Antonio. I think of the students that have come through our doors, and you wonder, is God doing anything? Are any seeds being planted? And I think of Annie Mays as a freshman, and then seeing her grow up to plant and foster young life across the entire south side of San Antonio. And Matt Beham as a sophomore, and seeing him grow up to become one of our co-lead pastors here at Redeemer. I think of my daughter, who came as a 4-year-old. And when we planted, before any of us almost were here, she was a church planter. She said, I want to be a little churcher. Welcome to my church. And she is a churcher. And she's continuing that work, that seed being planted. And I think about even before all of those seeds planted, other seeds being planted, I, a student at Auburn University, and in my junior year, Paul Hahn becomes the campus minister at Auburn. And we form a relationship. And he's checking in on me, planting the seeds of the gospel. And then God brings Tara Hart Gibbs to serve as his intern. And more seeds are planting. And we go to seminary in St. Louis. And Paul goes to plant a seed of a church in Austin at Redeemer Presbyterian Church. And then he calls me to come and plant RUF at Baylor University. More seeds being planted and more life being broken and more mission multiplying. And then God calls us here to Redeemer. More seeds planted, more life lived, more mission multiplied. Stories shared. And now God is planting more seeds. Out of the very plant from which the story emerged. As God's brought Paul and Fran to serve here at Redeemer Church, who gets the credit for all of this? Our Lord. Only our God can envision those kinds of stories. Our God is in the seed planting and seed growing business. He's the one at work. He is interweaving our lives according to His grace and His infinite wisdom. And friends, this is why we shouldn't lose faith. It's not about just looking to the Lord and trusting Him. It's about remembering that all the other stories will fail you. We live in the time of deconstruction. And those stories are powerful, but they are not telling you the truth. And Jesus already told us that sometimes the kingdom of heaven is small. It's easy to miss. And it's also messy because it's part of a story of brokenness. It's so broken that many in the world say it can't be true, because how can your Savior be on a cross? But we're going to join Him on that cross. As we do life together and keep our eyes fixed on Him and not lose faith, because God's kingdom will be victorious. Let's look to Him. Let's not lose faith. And finally, let's not be idle. This isn't just about reassurance. It's also about reminding us that we have work to do. That little story about the Gantt actually had a point. Because we are called to join action to God's promise. We're called to join our lives to what He has summoned us to do in this world. Yes, it's all God. But because He's at work, we get to work. We join Him in that mission. He summoned us to that participation. And so, friends, we need to plant the seeds of the kingdom. We need to be the seeds of the kingdom. We need to break as the seeds of the kingdom. We need to get all into the farming business. Right? This is about carrying the gospel forward in this world. And this is why I came to Redeemer 21 years ago. This is also why I left. God called me to something else, something new, different. But in being called away, it makes room for maybe idle servants to find new purpose. It makes room for new servants to be raised up. Because, friends, God is doing something here. This is special. This is significant. Open your eyes and join what God is doing. Find your place. Participate in His mission. We are the agents of the kingdom of heaven at work in this church, and so in this city, San Antonio, Texas. What a beautiful city, but a city that needs us so much. This city needs this church so much, and they don't see us like the mustard seed. right here. And God wants to put us to work for the glory of His kingdom. Do you know that that's your part? When we think about Redeemer Presbytery, 20 years, and maybe you're looking at those videos and you're hearing the stories and you're thinking, wow, so much has already happened, and what else is there to be done? Oh my goodness, no. 20 years is not very much time. And there's so much more that needs to be done. And if you're just joining the story, friends, we're just getting started. This story will go on, and hopefully it will forget about me. And God will continue to go forward. And I want you to find your place in that story, that you might discover how right our God is, how true our God is. Because, friends, this is the story of every missionary story, every church plant, every ministry story of God planting a seed and seeing it multiply and going forth and bearing fruit. This is how our God is at work. And this is why we can say, 2,000 years after the ministry of our Savior on this earth, the church is continuing to be sure flawed and straying at times. But our God is at work. As we sing in the hymn, the church shall never perish, her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish is with her to the end. Though there be those that hate her and false sons in her pale against a foe or traitor. Friends, the church, because of our Savior, will prevail. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that reassures us of your great kingdom work. Would you reassure us and fill us with the knowledge of that truth? As we see your hand here at Redeemer Presbyterian Church, we give you thanks for your faithfulness, your mercy, your steadfast love. For none of us have merited such blessing, and yet you have in your infinite mercy been pleased to show it to us. May we be your servants in this world for your glory and our great and abiding joy. We pray it in your name. Amen.